All right, if you would this morning, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be reading there in verse 1. And I want to talk to you about something today that we're always confronted with. It's always before us, and the Bible tells us how to deal with it. And it's a little four-letter word called evil. And Paul has a lot to say about it. The Bible has a lot to say about it, but there's also a lot of confusion about it. And so I want to address that subject today. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's just concluded three chapters that deal with the nation Israel. And he turns his attention back to the church at Rome there, and he says to those people, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Verse 1 and 2 are some of the most used verses in relation to living the Christian life that you can find. Because Paul says there that his desire, God's desire for us, is that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and he says that is our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service because of who we are and what Christ did for us. We've been bought with a price, and Paul says, having been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. I know today that you're familiar with the fact that many times people that preach the message of grace are accused of telling people and giving the idea to people that it's really not important how they live, that they can live any way they want to and it really doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter in relation to their salvation, because there's nothing you can do in your flesh to affect your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are saved, you are sealed to the day of redemption. And the things you do in your flesh never affect your salvation. But the Bible is, and particularly in Paul's epistles, there is much to be said about our walk after we are saved. In verse 9, Paul begins a whole list of things that he desires, that God desires for us as saints of the Most High God. He says there in verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." He goes on down through there and he gives a lot of instructions in relation to a lot of things. He addresses about hospitality and prayer and being of the same mind. But I find it interesting that verse 9 he says, "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." Then the question would obviously arise, what is evil? If you're to abhor, and the word abhor simply means to have a great dislike for, hatred, to despise, that kind of thing. He says that we are to hate evil and cleave to that which is good. Over in verse 21, he says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So apparently, if you want to contrast the two, you would look at some things as being evil and some things as being good. That's the contrast he has there. Cleave to that which is good, abhor that which is evil, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, Paul is giving a list of certain instructions to the church there at Thessalonica. And he says there in verse 15, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Again, the contrast there is set between that which is good and that which is evil. So I want us to look at some things today in the Word of God in relation to evil, that which is evil. If you would, go first of all to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says there, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us," notice, "from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." So folks, listen, I know I'm not giving you any great revelation here today, but we live in an evil world. And you can doctor it all you want to, and you can paint it any way you want to, and you can portray it any way you want to. This world we live in is an evil world. And you know why? It's because it is under the influence of that prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The idea that somehow we are in the midst of the kingdom or bringing in the kingdom is simply nonsense. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, when he ascended into heaven, he said before, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." But it is obvious through the scriptures that he is not exercising that power today. And we live in a world that is evil. Say, yeah, but the United States is much better. Not really. I mean, it may be better in some aspects, and obviously we would far prefer to live here than anywhere else. But the idea that we live in a Christian nation is just absolutely ridiculous. There is nothing Christian about this nation other than the few Christians that are in this nation. But as far as a nation, we are not a Christian nation. Never have been, not under the Republican administration, the Democrat administration, or if you elected a independent administration, it's still an evil world and an evil nation that we live in. And it has gotten worse and worse. Say, oh, things never get any worse. Yes, they are much worse. And they continue to get worse. Paul said, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." We live in an evil world. And you know, the problem is that many people in the area of religion, they believe that what God has called them to do is to change the world. Now, I know when you get into this, people sometimes, they get a little skittish because there are some good causes out there. But I want to tell you something this morning, folks. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but you ain't going to change the world. There have been people trying to change the world for years. The best you can hope for is to share the gospel with people and change the lives of some individuals who can operate and function in this present evil world on the basis of the Word of God, but you can forget it. You're not going to change the world. You're not going to change what the government's doing or anything else. And like I say, I believe you ought to vote. I believe you ought to get as involved as you want to be, but get involved with the understanding that you can change people, but the world is evil. It was evil when Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians, and it's gotten worse and worse. And you know what? It's never going to get any better until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth and establishes his kingdom upon the earth. Then he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years with a rod of iron, and it will be peace. It'll be a wonderful place to live. But right now, we're living in a present evil world. And the influence of that is felt in every area of our life. I mean, the things that come across the television wires today and the internet and so forth, I'm not a real old man, but I know a lot of y'all would disagree with that, call me a liar. But in my mind, I wrote the other day, that I woke up laying in bed and I, in my mind, felt like I was about 30 years old. And then I tried to get out of bed. And reality set in. Somebody wrote back and said that the psychologists say that your mind gets stuck at about 27 years of age. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you, folks that are older? I mean, I think just like I did in a lot of ways, I think I'd like to get out and pass the football, play football. And so the other day, Will and Connor's out there in the front yard, and I said, hey, give me the football. I'll be quarterback from both sides. I remember when I used to drop back, man, I'd throw that pass, and I could just hit them, you know, on the fly there. I reared back, threw the ball, and it went about 3 yards. I said, that ain't going to get it. You see, what is up here doesn't translate down here in this flesh anymore. But the point is that in our mind, there's a lot of things that go on there that simply we can't bring to... In other words, it's an older person. I think back to when I was a boy and the things that were considered totally unacceptable as far as movies and that kind of thing, and you're going to tell me that the world hadn't got any worse? It's worse. And the influences are worse. And I feel sorry for young people that are growing up in the world they're growing up in today. It's rough. I feel sorry for the parents of those young people and the ones to come after that. Because the temptations, I mean, when I was in school, biggest thing we was faced with was smoking cigarettes and drinking beer occasionally. I mean, that was it. I never knew anybody that was involved in drugs or drank hard liquor, and I didn't do those things myself because I was a good Christian boy, you know. Got saved later, but I was a good Christian boy in high school. But the fact is, folks, is that we live in an evil world, and you know what our hope is? Exactly what Paul said there. To deliver us from this evil world. The influence that God has upon this earth right now, I believe, is through the church, the body of Christ. People say, well, what about the intervention? I believe God is dealing with the world today on the basis of the Word of God, and He's using the members of the church, the body of Christ. And as I said, we have a ministry here, and that ministry is to preach the Word, to be in season, out of season, to try to get people saved, get people established in the truth, but it is never going to change the world. So, for you young people that had some illusion that you were going to change the world with your life, you might change your little community or your house, but it's not going to change the world. We live in the present evil world. As a matter of fact, look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. That does not mean we are to succumb to the evil world. We are to be a light in this world. That's what Paul's talking about over there. Abhor that which is evil. And see, the instruction is that we should never allow ourselves to become calloused and hardened to that which is evil just because it's so prevalent. We should be aware of the evilness that's in this world and resist evil and flee from evil and avoid every appearance of evil, as the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The world is evil. The place we live is evil. The time in which we live is evil. You see, the world is the place. The days has to do with the time in which we live. And if it was evil when Paul was alive, you know it's more so, far much more so today. And so we're living in evil days. Now, while we're here in Ephesians, look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Those are some things in relation to God's perspective of the world. But what about individuals? Well, evil has to do with the opposite of good. It has to do with the presence of sin and us allowing that sin to cause us to be involved in evilness. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, I know that there's a lot of probably different ideas about what corrupt communication is. Some people would just equate that with profanity, saying curse words or whatever, cuss words or whatever they call them now, profanity. But it goes beyond that. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Then he contrasts that, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Then that which is not good to the use of edifying would be classified, more than likely, as corrupt communication. Things that break down, things that tear people down. He said that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now notice the next verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about what comes out of our mouth. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said, it's not what goes in that defiles a man, but it's what comes out. For from out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And it goes there and lists, I think, 13 things in Mark chapter 7. But the fact is that one of the greatest causes of division and hurt is by that which is spoken. You see, we look at evil and we generally think of evil acts. Well, it is very important that we learn to guard our lips, our mouth. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Let me ask you something in your own personal life. Can you think of at least one time that a bad situation could have been avoided if you'd have just kept your mouth shut? If you're having a hard time finding one, you're probably not in reality. You're off somewhere out there in La La Land. Because, man, I can think of numerous times that if I had just shut my mouth, the situation would have never escalated and their things would have been so much better. Why? Because, you see, we're still walking around with that old evil heart. We still are burdened by that body of flesh. We're still walking around in that body of sinful flesh. We haven't been delivered from that yet. And it's a battle every day. And it's interesting to me that one of the things that's addressed here in the Bible in relation to the Christian life, as far as our life is concerned, is this evil speaking. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, there's an old saying that really reflects that verse. And that is, if you can't say something good, just don't say anything. My dad always told me that. And you know, I can think back and I remember very few times I ever heard my dad say anything derogatory about people. Now, I know that he had some real conflicts with some folks, but usually he just kept it to himself. And he goes on to say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, verse 31, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Folks, words many times are the dagger that cuts, that leaves unremovable scars. And you know, once that cut has been made, many times it's hard to ever retract it. I remember, I've known again many times in my life when in situations where I've said something and it was almost like I wanted to reach out and grab the words and just rein them back in, knowing that what I'd said was not what I should have said. Why is that? Because of our evil heart. It's all about self-control. It's about evaluating our life on the basis of the Word of God. Evil communication. Evil speaking. Not only that, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 3, Paul says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings." You know what an evil surmising is? Surmising, you ever heard people say, "Well, we just need to kind of surmise the situation"? People look at things and they evaluate them on the basis of either man's intellect or the Word of God. Evil surmisings would be surmisings that are not motivated by in the proper way. For example, he said, "There are evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." What was their evil surmising in this particular case? They were looking at situations and they were saying that because it was gain, there was some gain, then it was godliness. And I've mentioned this many times, but that's exactly where people are today many times in relation to religion. They look at a church, they see if it's growing, if it's flourishing and so forth, and the idea is that must be of God because of the way. You know what that is? That's some evil surmising. You need to evaluate things. We need to surmise things. We need to evaluate things on the basis of God's Word and not on the basis of human intellect. You see, human intellect would say, if it's successful, it must be of God. If people don't understand what God's doing today. Evil surmisings would say, well, if these people are doing thus and so, it must be of the Lord if they don't understand, again, what the Lord is doing. So there are evil surmisings. There are evil. Our mind is evil affected on a continual basis, and we need to evaluate things always on the basis of God's holy word. He goes on to say there, down in verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And I've mentioned that many times in the context. He's talking there about teachers, no doubt, in the whole context. And the teachers have pierced themselves through with many sorrows, and done what they are doing for money's sake. And Paul says that money, the desire for money by that teacher, is the root of all evil. In other words, it had to do with what their desire was for. Physical, fleshly things. So there's evil speaking. There's evil surmisings. And there are evil workers. Look back in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, in verse 1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but to you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Now, I know that sometimes people are hesitant to label certain things in the world as being evil, particularly when there are things that are done in a religious nature. But the Apostle Paul says here, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Look over in chapter 3, verse 17. "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you something, folks. I believe that what Paul is talking about here, that is very clear. There are evil workers. And he said that those evil workers are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now I know there's a lot of evil things that go on in the world. There's a lot of evil acts. And there are things that people do to one another that are just absolutely evil and depraved. And when a person does something else to someone that's so despicable, it's easy to identify that as evil. But we need to also understand that there are some evil practices going on today in the world that appear to be good, that appear to be wholesome and right, and yet they are equally as evil. I believe the most evil thing that an individual could do today is to deny the truth of all that was accomplished at the cross of Christ and preach a works-oriented salvation. And I believe those are the people Paul is talking about when he said they are enemies of the cross of Christ and their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. And I know I harp on this a lot, and probably you think I mentioned it way too much, but every time I see some charlatan on TV preaching a lie to try to get people's money, I believe that is one of the most evil acts a person can ever commit. I believe it goes far beyond what goes on out in the honky-tonks on Saturday night, and it is an evilness that permeates this world, and what is so deceptive about that, people don't recognize it as being evil, they look at it as being good. And it's deceptive. It's evilness, and it comes from these evil workers. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. For a man to have any knowledge whatsoever of the truth and to go and do the things he does in a deceptive manner to get people's money for his belly's sake is evil. And we need to abhor that which is evil. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 12, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then we know it's not going to get any better. You know, sometimes you keep thinking, well, sooner or later, these people are going to be exposed and people are going to understand what they're all about. Then the next time you turn on the TV, there's those thousands of people out there and there's a preacher up there preaching a lie, preaching some false teaching, and the people out there applauding him and it's growing and flourishing and so forth, and the minister, the people are sending their money. I mean, it's getting worse and worse. And it's evil. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What's the remedy? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You see, by rightly dividing the word of truth, folks, we can understand where our blessings are today. They're spiritual blessings. We can understand that God's not promised that if we give our money to some man out there that he's going to bless us like he did back there in Malachi 3. We understand those things by the word of God. But there are evil workers and there are evil men who are deceptive. And that's why we need to be able to discern between evil. Look over in chapter 4. In verse 14. Paul's talking about the men there. Well, let's go back up in verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed in Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he has profited me for the ministry. Antichius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Notice what he said. He did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That doesn't sound very Christian, does it? Paul said, this man's done me much evil. He identified who he was. And he said, the Lord shall reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. There's nothing wrong with preachers identifying those that are teaching false doctrine and evil doctrine and evil information that distorts the truth and causes people to believe a lie. Paul said he did me much evil. And there are people today that I had a situation just recently where a person, they just got furious with me about some things, and it was simply about the Word of God. And I said, listen, I'm not your enemy. My desire is to share the truth with you. And they never would discuss the Scriptures. It was all about what that person believed versus what and I said, well, let's look at what the Bible says. They count me as evil. And you know what? The world, the evildoers in this world, will do everything they can to try to hinder the truth of the Word of God from being preached. Look over, if you will, look back in your Bible to the book of Proverbs. I want you to notice some verses over there. Proverbs, most of Proverbs are things that transcend all dispensations in relation to some real practical instructions. And I just want you to notice some things that are said here about evil. In Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That's exactly what Paul said. Abhor that which is evil. Flee from evil. Flee from the very appearance of evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Look over in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Don't even put your foot there, he says, in the presence of evil. Look in verse 27. Or verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And then over in chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Look over in Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11:19. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Now you just, think about that verse in relation to some of the things we've just talked about here this morning. Evil doctrine, evil teachings, evil surmisings sent forth by evil men. And the Bible says there, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. How do we depart from evil? Well, notice what he says. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, how do we discern evil and good? Well, there's only one way. Everybody has their idea. The Bible says every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Listen, folks, the way we discern evil and good is by the Word of God. There's a lot of things that appear to be good, appear all right. But we need to evaluate those things. We need to evaluate all doctrine. We need to evaluate religious practices. We need to evaluate teaching and all of those things in by the Word of God. Try it by the Word of God. That's where the real answer is. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Well, where is truth? The Bible says, thy word is truth. That's what purges out the iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That fear there has to do with a total respect. And you know what? People today do not fear God. They don't respect the Word of God. And they don't believe there's any consequence in that which they do. And therefore, it's just sow to the flesh. Live to the flesh. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Paul said, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. I'm not going to stand up here and give you a list of do's and don'ts. I mean, after all, you can read. My job is not to pound people away with little nitpicky things in their life. But folks, evaluate your life. Evaluate your thoughts. Evaluate what you believe. And be sure it's that which is good. Because the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And he says there, be ye transformed. Let me turn there and read the verse so I don't misquote it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Why not be conformed to this world? We've just read, we live in an evil world. We live in evil days. Don't be conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave. That cleaving has to do with a embracing. Cleave to that which is good. You know in your heart and mind that which is right according to the Word of God. Evaluate all things on the basis of His Word, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Would you stand with me for prayer?